from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Quick hitter to Shakir, has a blocker in front, down to the 3-2, reaching for the goal line, and he's in! Khalil Shakir with an 11-yard catch and run for the touchdown, and Spencer Brown gets the spiking honors.
There was Chris Brown on the call. Khalil Shakir's touchdown from Sunday. The Bills 34-28 victors over the Arizona Cardinals. We go now, though, to the Wester Hotline as the Bills are on a short week to take on the Miami Dolphins for Thursday Night Football. And Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, guys. Good morning to you, too.
Also on that clip, though, Spencer Brown got the spike. Sal, we actually finally, it feels like I've been waiting 2 weeks for this. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been that long, but we do finally have reported numbers on Spencer Brown's contract. Do you want to run through that real quick?
Yeah, it appears as though, obviously, different ways to structure things, but it appears as though it's a 4-year contract extension, $72 million in new money. He gets just shy of $20 million, fully guaranteed. This is all according to Over the Cap. I know a few other places have put it out there, but I'm reading, you know, what they wrote. $16 million bonus, and a roster bonus, $7.1 million the year after that. 25 is the option, 16, and then roster, 7.5 the year after that. Anyway, it's a good way to saying that this appears as though 2025, locked in, a lot of money, and then, hey, if things don't go well, then you can reassess what you want to do. There would be obviously some hurdles and financially, but they could make some maneuvers. But and then the more I look at it, to me, it looks more really of a 3-year extension more than a 4-year extension. And then, you know, it's very reduced at the back end. But overall, I think the bottom line is here, the Bills identified a player that they really like, that's young, that's ascending, and they now have their bookend tackles locked up, both Deion Dawkins on the left and Spencer Brown on the right for the next several years.
And I will tell you, Sal, the way I saw it initially, you know, first seeing it this morning was, it was the old, we have faith in you, you are ascending, but we just want to make sure, just in case anything goes wrong, injuries, what have you, we can get out of this, and it's not a contract that you know, they are looking back at it, fans are looking back at it and calling it, you know, a huge failure. They leave themselves an out, which I think is smart, while also, you know, commending the player and giving him, you know, the correct salary for what he's valued at.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, I just tweeted out a little while ago today that one of the things that I get fascinated by is how fans immediately look to, when can we get out of a contract when a guy signs it? And I get it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wonder that, and I'm not saying that things can't go wrong. Of course, I get all of that. But the goal shouldn't be to get out of a contract before it ends. The goal should be, hey, this guy was good, and we got a good contract here, and if we go out to term, and that would be great, and then you sign another one. And, of course, that's not normal, right? Along the way, there's going to be maybe another extension, maybe a tweak, maybe it does go poorly, but this is a contract here that it looks like the Bills did exactly that. They said, like, we really have faith. He had some injuries early in his career. He's played really well. We identified this player, so now we're going to kind of move forward with him. And just so you know, now both them. So Deion Dawkins, his contract is looking here, 3-year extension, so what, 20, 24, 25, 26, he's locked up for. And now this puts, let me find Spencer Brown here through 27 here, so if I have my years right. So there you go, 28. Thank you. So Deion through 27, Spencer through 28, because Deion's was also an extension because he had 1 year remaining.
And as you mentioned, I mean, that locks in their two tackles here for the long run. Sal, we are, of course, on a short week here. The Bills play in 2 days down in Miami. We already had the quote-unquote first injury reports. Both teams, though, were participating in a walkthrough. Real quick, though, me and Josh here, we're sort of wrapping up our thoughts for week one. We haven't been on air since last week. For me personally, and I obviously I heard you on yesterday with Shope and the Bulldog, I found myself really agreeing with your point where Josh Allen didn't need to be Superman on Sunday. He just happens to be that guy. Like he that's what he does. But ultimately, this is something I've been banging the drum for all offseason, is that the Bills just want to have a ton of dudes at the skill position players, guys that are going to do their jobs correctly and take some off of Josh Allen. He's not going to have to make hero throws constantly. And I feel like you saw that on Sunday, where I think 10 guys caught passes, and there was even, people are going through the All-22 now. There was a point where Dalton Kincaid is quadruple covered, and he just takes the dump off to Ray Davis, and he keep moving. The offense, to me, Sal, felt like, outside of a few bad penalties and a bad turnover by Josh on, I believe, the first offensive drive, they were moving with impunity.
Yeah, I agree, and this is the point I was trying to make over the last couple of days. This was not a Josh Allen hero ball game. This was a Josh Allen did special things game. That's what it was. He wasn't asked to, and he didn't have to necessarily make incredible plays for them to win. He just happened to have those. I think the way the offense was moving, they may have scored anyway if he doesn't run in the ball and jump over Buda Baker. I mean, you go to the first half of this game, James Cook was averaging close to 7 yards a carry. I mean, they were moving the ball. Well, what they did, though, was they get down in their first drive, and Josh gets sacked, and he fumbles. Then the second drive, they go down and get stopped in the red zone. They have to kick a field goal. In fact, they had a touchdown call back on the second drive, right? Josh Allen ran one in. So, yeah, I don't take away from this game some of the – now, if you look at the box score, this is called box score scouting, right? If you look at box score and you say, Josh had 2 running touchdowns, he had 2 passing touchdowns. Boy, they really needed him to be Superman and put on the cape. No, I don't think that's right. If you watched the game and you were there, you watched it on TV, you understand and you saw that the Bills actually did a really good job moving the football. They didn't need Josh Allen to do that. That's just how he plays. That's just who he is. He's a special player. He's a special athlete. So when it came down to it, there were a few plays to be made. I think this team was still in a good position offensively, independent of Josh having to make those plays. But, of course, he is a guy that you don't want him to not do that, right? I mean, if that's what's going to make your offense special, then why not do that? So, yeah, I didn't think he had to be a Superman. I just think he was, because that's who he is. And look, the Cardinals did a really good job in the second half of buttoning down on James Cook after he averaged 7 yards a carry. He only averaged 3.7 yards for the game. So in the second half, he really didn't have anything, and they kind of smothered him. So they did a nice job, and that's when Josh had to kind of take things over a little bit here and there. But I just think that they played a really sound, good offensive game outside of the sack and fumble and the penalties, which really, really hurt them a lot.
So, Sal, also looking here at the box score, one guy that I feel like most of us and most of Bills fans probably thought was going to kind of burst out, maybe even in this first game, Dalton Kincaid. He only had 1 catch, 11 yards on 2 targets. You really worried there, or you think it was just that Arizona was game planned for him specifically and it just led Allen to other opportunities?
Not worried whatsoever. He's going to be a big part of this team. And if his impact is double and triple teaming him so other people get open, then that's great. I mean, this is what this offense has been designed for. It's what we were told it's going to be going all the way back to March, to April, that they're going to have what everybody eats. That's their mantra. Look at everybody eating. 10 different players had the ball thrown to them. 9 different receivers caught passes, whether it's tight end or running back or whatever, 9 different players. I mean, if you would have told me going into the game, the leading receiver for the Bills would have 4 catches for 51 yards, I'd be worried. Think about it and look at it and say, wait a minute, that actually worked pretty well. 4 catches, 51 yards was the high watermark. That's Keon Coleman. But then you had 3 for 42, 3 for 32, 2 for 25, 2 for 15, 1 for 23. I mean, it's incredible. It goes down. All 9 players who caught a pass for the Bills excuse me, including Dalton Kincaid's one catch and Dawson Knox's one catch and MVS's one catch and Ray Davis's one catch, all nine players who caught a pass for the Bills had double-digit yardage. I mean, this is the definition of everybody eats. I'm not worried whatsoever. I think he will be a big part of the game plan, and all that's going to happen now is maybe Thursday night the Dolphins do the same thing, and they say, we're not going to let Dalton Kincaid beat us. Well, then Josh has to throw it to other people. Eventually, teams will have to start covering other people, and Dalton Kincaid's going to get his targets and he's going to get his catches.
What do you think that means long-term, though, for Kincaid specifically? I mean, if teams do stay on him, you know, in these double, triple, quadruple coverages as we saw in the one highlight, and let's say we're in week 9 and that's still happening, how do you think the Bills could adapt that and maybe try to scheme him open more? Like, is that just something that we'll have to, you know, cross that bridge when we get there? Or what do you think that could mean long-term?
I don't know if you can scheme someone open if the defense is concentrating on triple teaming them. I mean, it's just
right.
that's what they're going to do,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
I mean, it's going to be hard. At that point, you're forcing the ball, and I don't think the Bills want to do that. I think the Bills want to get away from any sort of concept of forcing the ball to someone, right? They'll adjust. I do think, and this goes back to something we talked about a lot in this offseason, and we saw it on that one play in the 23-yard gain, I do think this is where Dawson Knox comes in, guys. I think Dawson Knox is going to be a bigger part of this offense than people realize, and that might be because teams are going to concentrate on Dalton Kincaid, and now all of a sudden you have another tight end who is a good pass catcher who you say, all right, well, if you want to do that, we have another tight end here we could either block with or we could put on the route and we could throw it to him. And that's why I think Dawson Knox can have a bigger role this receiving game than a lot of people expected coming into the season.
Moving on now to Thursday night. As I mentioned, kind of, Sal, as you came right in, we've already got the first injury reports of the week, both teams participating in a walkthrough, so it's kind of more of a projection if full practice is going on. But for the Dolphins, of course, the Bills, Tyron Johnson already out with a forearm. I feel it's not too surprising. He was ruled out on Sunday. Now it's more of a see how long it is. But for the Dolphins, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert both would not have practiced. Sal, what do you make of that, especially with the Dolphins' run game and the speed they use in the backfield?
Well, we'll see where this goes as far as, you know, Thursday night. I will tell you right now that their offensive coordinator, Frank Smith, is speaking to the media, I think even as we talk right here, and I'll just read you some of the reports coming out of Miami. Frank Smith, he does not yet have an answer for Devon Achane and Raheem Morris' status for Thursday. Now, he is the assistant coach. They're asking him. Typically, the head coach handles those duties. I don't know. It could very well just be they're going to lay off them, and they'll see if they're ready for Thursday night, or they're going to be ready, but they're laying off them a little bit. That could be the case, or it could be where they're out one or both of them, and obviously that would be a big blow to them. It is a short week for the Miami Dolphins too, not just for the Buffalo Bills. And obviously Josh Allen's injury, we know he's cleared. You know, Taron Johnson is not going to play in this game. We know Smoot is most likely not going to play, but the Dolphins dealing with some injuries. And if they're going to be out Achane and or Mostert, that impacts what they want to do. Jeff Wilson is there. That's a guy that they will give the ball to. So they have a couple of guys, and, you know, they run a type of offense where even on their offense, like, everybody eats a little bit, right? It's Tyreek Hill, but in the backfield, they've kind of rotated through the last couple of years under Mike McDaniel. So I would expect that they'd have guys ready to go, but those would be big blows, either those guys missing.
The Dolphins also for week one had a comeback victory, ultimately an Etienne fumble kind of keeps them in the game. What did you make from their performance against Jacksonville, ultimately winning 20-17, but very much we're staring down the barrel potentially of a 24-7 deficit late in that third quarter?
And did you see how the game turned at the goal line there? I don't know if you guys saw the play. I mean, I saw the highlight and I didn't, like, wasn't dialed into the exact play, but apparently, I mean, Travis Etienne was running into the end zone. He was literally at the 2-yard line, and it was a peanut punched out the ball. That would have made it like 24-3. And they got the ball back. They scored a touchdown. Then they got it again. They scored a touchdown again. They wound up winning the game. I mean, hey, if you're a Miami fan, I mean, that's going to go a long way for confidence. And, oh my gosh, they had this big comeback. That's great for them. So, you know, obviously starting off 1-0. Now these two teams are 1-0. So I was looking last night, guys, the AFC East. I was wondering if the Jets had won, every team in the East would be 1-0. I went back and said, when's the last time that happened? I found the answer. 2015. Everybody was 1-0 in the AFC East to start the season, 2015. But that did not happen because the Jets lost. Mm-hmm. So they're 0-1. But this is an early – whoever wins this game is in first place in the AFC East until Sunday, at least, until, you know, the Patriots play, and then we'll see what happens there. But, I, you know, look, I mean, I guess I was surprised the Dolphins only scored the amount of points that they scored to come back and win, only scored a couple of touchdowns. I mean, this is an offense that we all know has been near the top or at the top of the league. They do a lot of things, especially early in the season, that teams are trying to adjust to catch up to, but didn't seem like now Tua did throw for over 300 yards. He was only one of the only quarterbacks in the league this week to throw for over 300 yards, which is really interesting, right? So, you know, they still have a lot of offensive firepower. They still have a lot of offensive weapons. And, of course, we saw the big playability they have on display, Tyreek Hill with an 80-yard touchdown.
Sal, you mentioned the AFC East there. The Jets last night. I was not able to watch the game, but, you know, kind of following Twitter and such, it felt like the Jets, for all the hype they get and everything, it seemed like it was, yeah, they've got Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 coming off an injury, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall, and that's their whole offense. And I know we've got a few weeks here until the Bills do take on the Jets, but it sort of felt like if you're a Jets fan, everything bad that you thought could happen outside of injuries seemed to happen. I mean, even there was a period where people were confused. Why is Sauce Gardner not on the field? And I seemingly never actually got an explanation for why he was not on the field.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to ask you guys, did we ever find that out?
It's just he was not on the field, then he went back in, and everyone was like, I guess he's back in.
So, listen, Aaron Rodgers looked older and immobile to me. That's what he looked like when he stood in the pocket and he had some time. He threw some lasers and some darts and very accurate. That's what he does. I mean, he's one of the greatest ever. But he really didn't move much, and he stayed there. And when the pressure started coming, he wanted to make sure he got rid of the ball so he didn't have to. You know, and that's obviously what people are wondering about here. He didn't quite look like, you know, the Aaron Rodgers in his prime. Not that he should or people expected that, but I think Jets fans were hoping maybe to see a little bit more, a little more mobility, a little bit more of hanging in there and, you know, however that would go. It just seemed like it was a little bit too rough, you know, to make those plays. Breece Hall did not have a great day running the ball. I'm going to go back and look. I don't know his – let me see what his overall stat line here was, because I know he had some yards later in the game. 16 for 54, 3.4 yard. And that was including late in the game. You know, once it was in doubt and this 49ers started subbing, he had a 16-yard run. I mean, you know, I don't think the offensive line did a great job there. Breece Hall didn't have very – good numbers. I know that, you know, Garrett Wilson looked really good. Alan Lazard made a couple of real nice catches. Obviously, he had two touchdowns as well. But the big thing for me that really surprised me about the Jets, after the first quarter, their defensive line just got pushed around. Mm-hmm. I mean, Quinnen Williams was getting pushed around. It just seemed like they were always 2 or 3 yards back. You know, the 49ers were pushing the line of scrimmage. And I did not expect that from the Jets defense, obviously. And, you know, people talk about Hassan Reddick and what, I don't know, how much does... You put Hassan Reddick in the field last night. How much of a different game is that? I don't know. Is it really that much of a different game? The way that the 49ers played and the way the defensive line was getting handled after the first quarter there for the Jets, I'm not sure it was.
And I think that's a fair thing to bring up. Like, how much does Hassan Reddick really bring up? And as well, I think a thing that's always kind of ignored with the Jets, or we'll all laugh about it and then sort of forget about it, this is on the offensive side of things, but like Nathaniel Hackett's there. And there were reports that the Jets sort of wanted to move off of him or get somebody else, have someone else call the plays. It just, that seems like an organization that is just desperate for any kind of success. Come hell or high water, they're going to do anything. They're going to move anything to do it. And nothing seems to be working at all. And partially because they're not making smart moves. I've loved Joe Douglas's drafts. But then there have been other moves, like the Hassan Reddick trade, that just leave you scratching your head going, who is actually making decisions in there?
Well, listen, they're clearly going all in, and they're really going high risk, high reward for a lot of the things that they're doing. There's no doubt. But that's what happens when your jobs are on the line, when you have this drought. It's, you know, it's as long as the Sabres drought, right? It's the longest playoff drought going on in sports right now. So there's no doubt that they're trying to do whatever they can. I respect that on a level, which is like, hey, they're trying to win. They're trying to do it. But obviously, there's a lot of risk that goes along with that. And if it doesn't go well this year, they might have to reset again, because you're not going to see Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh in that building anymore. And I don't even know how long that can go this year. But if you're a Jets fan, you're obviously very disappointed and upset about last night. But look at the upcoming schedule. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunity for them. They're at the Titans. They get the Patriots at home on a Thursday night. Then they get the Broncos at home. Then they go to the Vikings. And then they have that big Bills Monday night game coming up. So the next four games for them are very winnable games for the Jets. But, you know, if they play like they did last night, I mean, you could say, okay, maybe not. But I think they'll probably play better, being they will have lesser opponents too.
The Denver Broncos. Bo Nix either had 21 or 22 completions at some point in the third or fourth quarter for like 111-yard sale. What offense is
that? Yeah, but isn't this what happened around the league?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what was going on in the league this week. You look at the yards. How many quarterbacks threw for 300 yards in the NFL this week? Do you
I
guys
think
know?
Just Tua.
Tua and Matthew Stafford.
Oh, Stafford.
Well, and
right.
Sal, yep. We were talking about it too. I found a stat earlier. There was only 35 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, in the mm-hmm. league this year in week one. Last year it was 37, and the year before that it was like 60. It's this steep drop off that it just came out of nowhere.
And well, I don't know if it came out of nowhere.
It's been
haven't we been talking about this? I've been talking about this since the owners' meetings and talking to people about these too high shells and how teams are just nobody's allowing you to go over the top and make these big plays. But I agree with you that like it's a very steep cliff to drop off, Josh. No
well,
doubt,
that's
right?
Why
like that. Yeah,
that's
but
what I'm saying.
I think this is what we've been building towards and trending towards for the last several years in the league. How these teams don't want to let that happen to them. They're like, heck with this. Why are we letting teams throw over the top? Why are we letting these teams beat us with these big plays? If you're going to make a big play, it's got to be by you running through us because we can't tackle you, right? That's what it's got to be. You know, you talk about those guys, and then I'll bring up Caleb Williams as well. Where's Caleb Williams on here? What did he Ooh. Have? His numbers.
Not good.
I mean, they were
Wasn't it like
not good at all. And yet they want to win it, of
yeah.
course.
I mean, they did win. Will Levis's interception. Sal, have you seen that?
Correct.
His pick six?
I did. You know what I thought of, right? Oh my God, that's Josh's rookie year. Like,
yeah,
it's just Josh trying to make a play.
The
right
reaction
there, right?
is great, where he just falls to his knees, hands on the helmet. It was just,
yeah,
it's art.
Yeah,
Williams, 14 of 29, 93 yards. Yeah,
I didn't think he got over 90. I thought he was at 86. So that's yeah. They win, but like that's like one of those Bears win ever, where it's defense, special teams, touchdowns, and the quarterback.
I mean,
you're like, oh, what was that?
Did you see how the Steelers won? They kick six field
beautiful
goals.
Beautiful football, Sal. That was beautiful football.
Yes.
That is the most Steelers
that
win
is,
I've ever seen.
Exactly right. That's the Mike Tomlin kind of brand of football. I was way more disappointed in the Falcons, though, to get only 10 points. Kirk Cousins, 155 yards, two interceptions. Bijan, 68 yards rushing, 3.8 yards a carry. Like, the Steelers didn't do anything special. Justin Fields threw for a $1.56, did not throw a touchdown. They kicked six field goals and win.
Just, oh, man. And Kirk Cousins did not look healthy. I saw something, too, of like they took like 90% of their snaps out of the shotgun, and it's not good. Sal, though, before we let you go, because we know practice is starting at noon, we want to let you get over there. We've been talking about throwing the ball. I got to ask you about college. Syracuse isn't playing this weekend, but Kyle McCord.
Nope, they got a week off.
Kyle McCord. Where did
Looks
that
great.
Come from?
Well, you know, I think that maybe, you know, you have to consider – at Ohio State, he didn't have to be the guy, right? Because it's so many great players around him. And you just throw the ball up, Marvin Harrison's going to catch it, and you have great receivers and running backs, offensive line, great defense. You know, you have five stars everywhere. At Syracuse, he's got to throw the ball. He's got to make plays, and he can. And they're showing that. And by the way, Syracuse does have really good receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nerande Gadsden is considered a tight end, but he's, you know, transition from receiver. But they do have very good skilled offensive players to help him. I'm just really happy. Fran Brown, he deserves, after really... You know, he came in and he just seems like such a guy that wants to, you know, do everything right and, you know, get this program turned around. And for him to be able to get those two wins to start the season is just awesome. And now I'm really kind of wondering here. You get Stanford in a couple of weeks, a chance to go 3-0.
ACC matchup against Stanford.
I know, right?
Because the border gore in college football is awful. Got Stanford and Cal in the ACC.
Yeah.
What a time. All right, Sal, thanks for joining us, man. Enjoy practice. We'll hear from you later today.
Yeah, Sean McDermott, by the way, speaks at 12:45 p.m. to the media down here. So we'll get an update on, you know, injuries, practice today, and then practice will be at in the 1 o'clock hour, 1:15, I believe, is when it starts. And then we'll hear from players after.
Awesome, Sal. Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
You got it.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. And, yeah, real quick, we do have to hit another timeout here. So, Butch, Dave, hang on the line. We'll get to you after a quick timeout. But, yeah, the border gore in college football is atrocious. The Pac-12 is dead, which, by the way, like every Pac-12 team keeps winning in their new conferences. I'd like to bring that up. USC actually is playing defense. That's incredible. That's never happened before. But, I mean, the idea that Cal and Stanford might at some point in the next few years play for an ACC championship and put that on their resume, not okay. Not okay. We used to be a proper country. College football used to be a I actually love college football. I think it's in a great spot. I really, really do. I think the transfer portal is awesome. I think teams are using it correctly. We'll start to get some guidelines to it. It's going to work itself out. You're not going to get mercenary players because ultimately it's proven to not be great. You need guys that are actually buying into the program. But
look,
I am very excited for college football.
I'm at the point with college football, though, with their conferences. The ACC, yes, it's the American what?
No, it's the
Atlantic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know where I got American from.
It's like in the name. No. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that doesn't even change anything there. So if your name has a region of a country, of the country, you have to stick with teams inside that region. Please.
The Atlantic Coast Conference. It's rough.
Please. Just, you had the Pac-12, bring it back and call it a day. Just stop.
I mean, I can't wait to tell my kids stories about, you know, Pac-12 after dark.
I just
Arizona State versus Arizona at midnight Eastern time.
I just don't understand it. Why get rid of something that works?
TV contracts.
So what?
I feel bad saying if we figure
have
TV
it out.
Contracts.
It's all about the money, man.
Yep. 12-team playoff though. I think that is
that's
going
great.
To be.
That's good.
I think that's going
to be.
But
you didn't have to blow up a conference for that.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, where are you going with this?
No.
How are you going
to
defend that?
You didn't need to do that. But I am excited for the 12-team playoff, namely because team seasons are not dead after one loss. I think that was always a tough selling point for college football of, you know, to have any teams play anyone of serious note in week one, but be like, oh, but by the way, if you're on the losing end on a neutral site, stop playing this year because it's over. It's a really tough selling point. And, you know, as someone that's a Texas fan, I watched the beginning of the Michigan game with some nerves. After that, it was all hunky-dory and it was a lot of fun. But, like, there was, you know, in years past, it'd been like, don't lose. Doesn't matter that it's a non-conference game. You cannot lose. Like, you'll be out of the top four, and it'll be nearly impossible to get back in. I mean, goodness. Florida State went undefeated and couldn't get in the four because their quarterback play was so bad. So I think the 12-team playoff is going to be a lot of fun. Week three, though, not really any huge marquee matchups. I'll be writing about that, though, coming up Friday this week, and I'll be doing that throughout the season as well, kind of giving a preview over at our website, WGR550.
The Texas preview.
No.
Yes.
But they will have a piece, most likely. And they're going to be one of the best teams. They're ranked number two in the country. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it.
I can't make fun of you about Texas anymore. I got to figure something out.
Oh, some of my friends are really reeling. That was like the one thing they had.
Because
the Angels, it's self-deprecating. I'll follow you.
Right.
Texas hurt.
Well, yeah, I know. And I used to make fun of you for it. Yeah. Now I can't.
803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is WGR.
I thought Dalton played a really good game. You can tell that the defense was really concerned with where he was on any given moment, and it kind of opened it up for some other guys. And I don't think that was maybe necessarily intention, but love to get him going a little earlier. But he had some of the best blocks in the game, and it never didn't bother him at all. And so everyone eats kind of mindset. If people are focusing on him, it opens up for other people. And so I was pleased with, after the game, how excited he was with only one catch or something like that. So obviously he's a good football player, and he helps us when the ball's in his hands, and we'd love to get him more of it, just like a lot of the other guys. But all he cares about is winning, and that's a lot of the guys on our offense.
There is Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady talking about Dalton Kincaid there. Me and Josh have been mentioning, we talked with Sal there in the last segment as well, of just, you know, you're looking now at the All-22. The man was double to triple to quadruple covered at times, and it really opened up avenues for, well, as the Bills are saying, to let everyone else eat. Ray Davis has one target for one catch. It goes for 14 yards, and it's on that play that we've been joking about, this quadruple coverage. You know, and that's the thing, too. Teams are just not going to be able to keep doing that. They just won't survive, especially because, I mean, the Bills have a bad turnover and some bad penalties. You could chalk up the penalties, too. I mean, they had 9 on Sunday. You could chalk up that, too, to just week one,
some of
didn't
it,
get
though,
a lot of reps in game.
Was
well,
the,
yeah. I mean, bad calls.
The Jamarcus Ingram one was bad.
That one, yeah.
That was really bad. Not on Ingram, on the
right. No, because he literally didn't touch Murray, yeah. But it's
well,
fine.
Well, he did, but he touched the lower body, and that's kind of
like
okay.
He clearly tried to get away.
He tried to get out of the way. That's the main part of that. But I mean, half of those penalties, I don't think get called later in the season.
I think the worst part too, though, and you know it's a really bad day, is when I would argue also Arizona was getting screwed a few times as well.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the one Allen roughing the pass, where Allen gets roughed, I think was a bit soft and maybe a bit of a makeup call. But you don't know. You can't. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really fully speculate on that sort of thing, but it's the first week of the season. Everyone's going to have some rust, and
everyone in the league pretty much did.
Yeah, I mean, look back to the Chiefs and Ravens game.
Yeah, it got better.
There was like 85 flags in the first quarter. Not really, but it felt like it.
It was so
every bad. Other play, the offensive line of Baltimore was getting called for.
I mean, Ronnie Stanley was just.
But it was.
That
What's
felt
he
rude.
Supposed to do? Stand on this line of scrimmage?
Like it felt rude.
It looked like he was moving forward every single time, and they're, nope, you're still not far enough ahead.
Yeah. Harbaugh's telling him, like, just move him forward. Just tell him what. Like, it was bad. It was bad. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're talking now week 2. The Bills do have a short week. Starting practice at noon. Bills head coach Sean McDermott's going to talk to the media around 12:45. Hopefully get more of an update heading into Thursday Night Football against Miami. But we're going to get to connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We're going to go to the phones, and we've got Lou here on the line. Lou, good morning. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. You guys hopefully are doing well, too. Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I'm mostly talking about Joe Brady. I don't think he's a very good passing game coordinator. He proved it last year with the last 6 or 7 games where he concentrated on the run. I believe that it's egregious that he had Allen just throw 2 passing attempts in the first half prior to the 2-minute warning. I think he sets up Allen for heroic efforts. I don't know if it was you guys that called Allen a Superman, but he is. But he's not utilizing Allen's best, which is passing downfield. Allen's a superior runner too. But relying on like James Cook in the running game, when you have Allen, best player in Bills history, is just idiotic. But maybe he can't scheme the passing game.
I get your point. I don't agree with it really at all. I think he is a very good passing game coordinator. Look at the LSU year. And even in Carolina in 2020, he had almost 3 receivers at 1,000 yards with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback, making him almost a 4,000-yard passer. The team was not successful. And we're looking at Carolina. It was not really his fault. Arizona was one of the worst run defenses in the NFL last year. In the first half, they were running at almost 7.5 yards per carry. Why would you go away from that? Look, I'd like to see Allen pass the ball more. They also didn't really have the ball much. Their defense wasn't getting off the field. He probably would have had more passing attempts, and ultimately in the two-minute warning, he went up. I mean, he ultimately ends with 23 of them. They moved the ball well. They were moving it efficiently. Again, 9 guys caught passes. 10 guys ultimately were targeted.
I think that's going
to... I would like to see less first down running attempts. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Joe Marino had the stat where they ran it 75% of the time on first down. That was good for second in the NFL through 1 week. I'd like to see that less. I think a lot of it, though, was schemed up for this week because of Arizona's historically bad run defense, where last year, I think that was due to necessity. They didn't have an option post dig or even after Diggs. Even with Diggs, it wasn't that great. They were still targeting him a lot. It wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
They went to Shakir and Kincaid to try to get it going. And ultimately, James Cook finished last year fourth in the NFL in rushing. It's not idiotic to do that.
Yeah, and I think, too, also with the, like you brought up how they kind of game plan for Arizona. And obviously every team game plans for their opponent. But I think the Bills game, like the look game to game is going to be much more drastic than it has been in years past. I think, let's say this week with Miami, right? It's going to, I think it's going to be heavy passing. And then, you know, next week against Jacksonville, I don't know. We're going to find out. But let's say it goes back to the run game. And I think you're going to see much more of a drastic shift. Obviously you see shifts from game to game. But I think it's going to be a lot more drastic and pronounced than you see for other teams or you've seen for the Bills in years past. It's going to be a very game dependent, team dependent. Who are we playing this week? What are we facing this week? Let's go heavy into this, heavy into that.
Well, yeah.
I think that's what Brady does, though.
That's the correct way, I think, to do it. It's a lot of, like, yes, Josh Allen's amazing, but we talked with Sal about it. We talked about it in the first hour, too. Like, the numbers in the NFL for passing are down. Teams are not making are making it near impossible for you to beat them going down the field, passing down the field.
And honestly,
that's what got Ken Dorsey fired was that he would not adjust to what defenses were throwing at the Bills. He said, no, we're going to go deep. I don't care that no one's getting open.
And if you want
to go deep,
if you want to think about it from a season long perspective, if and it's not going to be for every team, it's not going to be the scenario for everybody, but if later in the season, the later you go, the more injuries that pop up, the more fatigue there is, the just everything changes as the year goes on. If, let's say, you know, week 12 rolls around, who do the Bills play in week 12? Is that their bye week? That'd be funny.
That'd be good.
I think it's week
14 is their bye.
Close. Very close.
That is close. I would have been really funny, though, if that was week 12.
No, week 12 is their bye.
No way.
I just looked at it. Week 12 is their bye.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay.
That's funny, though.
Week 13.
Against San Francisco.
All right. So San Francisco comes to town. And, you know, the 49ers are banged up in the secondary, right? And the Bills haven't been a passing offense for much of the year. Now you have all these tricks in the bag and things you've been saving for the right moment against a tougher opponent, right? And I'm not saying that's going to be the scenario, but if you can have this where you kind of unfurl things as the season goes along, rather than this is our scheme, this is what we're doing all year, all at once in week one, I think that gives you a little more of an element of surprise. It kind of gives you that, you know, bit of an edge because you're looking for that this year. Without having a number one wide receiver, you have to look for a different way to make that offense dynamic. And if you can just become unpredictable, which it's hard to do, but if you can be more unpredictable than most teams, I think you kind of get that dynamic effect back that you lose by not having a number one wide receiver like Stephon Diggs. If you can just create that in a way, and I think Joe Brady can. He seems to be a very good offensive mind, and he seems to have a very in-depth, I guess, or I don't know what the word would be. I don't want to say galaxy brain, but it's kind of the thing that's coming to mind, right? Where it's, you know, you're thinking of everything and anything all at once, and you're just plucking things out of the air and going at random.
And I will also say, though, for, again, this is just week one, and I've been looking for this tweet because Joe tweeted it out, but it's from Hayden Winks, who got the NFL week one neutral pass rates. Mm-hmm. The Bills ranked 14th. They were middle of the pack in week one in terms of passing the ball, and they were going up against a historically bad run defense, which, by the way, for much of the first half, they were carving up.
Yeah, and it makes sense to do
that. It was correct to do it.
That's the right way to game plan. Now, if they had a great run defense and a great passing offense or passing defense, hey, or a bad passing defense, you're obviously going to pass the ball. It's that part of it is very straightforward.
Problem.
But I just think that, like I was saying, I think you're obviously going to look at those things in game plan, but it's going to be just a drastic shift rather than like this subtle, you know, oh, we're going to run it a little less this. No, it's going to be, hey, if we're not running it, we're not running it.
My biggest problem, though, was the first down run rate. That even when the running game started to not work, that when Arizona keyed in on the first down runs, they didn't go away from it. Mm-hmm. That's my only issue. I do wonder, though, how much of that, you know, kind of came down to the end of the game where it's like, we're carving them up. We're moving. Let's not change it up. We're doing fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't really stop us. And they just kind of kept the ball rolling rather than, hey, they're totally stopping first down runs. Let's switch to passes. I do wonder if it was kind of just in the moment, everything's still working. We're fine.
Well, and there is points, too, where obviously you need to switch what you're doing because it's not working. But if it is working, if you have, you know, 2-3 big runs from James Cook in a row, switch to a pass, get the defense off guard. You're going to catch them off balance. It's not, that's where I'm a little nervous. I don't want them to get too set in stone in like what they're doing, but I'm interested to see how much variation we see throughout the season.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones here real quick. We've got Butch on the line. Butch, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, gentlemen. Thanks so much for taking this call. I have a couple of things to say, plus an add-on based off something you spoke about earlier. But before I get started, number one is I love WGR. I love MSG, the fans. I definitely know I love you guys. But I want to just touch base real quickly on James Earl Jones. Let his family, my condolences to all the fans like myself, my mom, my grandparents. Because years for years and years, I have sat at Christmas tables, Thanksgiving tables, and even sat in front of a television and watched this gentleman, class act, far as what he does it perfectly. Not only that, he's a class gentleman, number one. Secondly, he's an icon. Thirdly, he walks with a purpose. And fourth, his purpose has words. His stature of how he carries himself as a gentleman is a lost art in today's life. So all the young people like yourself, Zach and Josh and all you guys, all the young people, because he's 93 years old, who never, you know, Darth Vader was one of his characters. He didn't wrote books for little kids and everything else. But I just want you guys to understand his legacy is that he has always been a class act gentleman. Always remember that. I'm going to put that on the show. And I thank so much for taking this call. I want to get right to it. We had a call just a minute ago, just spoke before me, and I totally disagree with him. Reason why, no disrespect to him, I love him, but I disagree with him. And the reason why is this, because it kind of piggyback off what I really want to talk about. We had Ken Dorsey here in the office. He's stagnant. Joe Brady came in last year from he was down like 6 games to even get to the title, even get to the playoffs. He designed whatever he could. He took some groceries out the cabinet and put together a meal. When we ate it, and we made it. We just ain't winning. But at the same time, now moving forward with his own style now, I love the running game. I'm glad the running game is resurrected back here in Western New York. This is a cold weather city. I'm glad that it's here. Yes, unfortunately, sometimes people don't like it well because we got a class act quarterback with a rocket arm and who's a superstar in his league. But at the same time, you have to have a balance. And I think Joe Brady has a balanced office. I'm not calling to throw Brady under the bus. I'm saying this on this one thing, and I'm going to get to my last one, and I'm going to hang up. But is this, I just want him, because I'm going game to game now. I just want him to look at his backs more, throw more screens. Instead of the 13 package, just run 11 package. If you're going to run a 13, you're going to use a fullback, keep Gilliam on the side, bring Ray Davis in. If you're going to put him in motion, at least Josh got an option that he can throw a screen pass or a pass to a quality back, not a fullback. That's my only take on that. I don't have nothing else to say bad about Joe. I wouldn't have nothing to say bad about Joe at all. Keep doing what you're doing, Mr. Brady. I love you, brother. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, this is what I spoke to Chris and I spoke to Steve yesterday regarding this matter, and Steve kind of misunderstood what I said about Von Miller with his four fingers in the ground, moving him around, not changing the position. But if you watched the Jets game yesterday, you saw Williams, a big D tackle. They moved him to a defensive end so he can get one-on-one action where he can better off and penetrate. The same thing Kansas City does with Jones. They'll move Jones from D-tackle to D-N. All I was saying is with Von Miller at his age, let him roam to find the right gap where he can tap somebody on the butt, they can slide over, where he can get the one-on-one penetration. That's the only thing I say about Bobby and Coach McDermott with fires with Von Miller. But besides that, guys, we got a nice thing going here. But I had to speak about James Earl Jones to all the young people who don't know him. Just don't blow this off. This is really, really an icon that this world has really lost. He's class act. And I love you guys so much. Thanks for taking my call. I love MSG. Love W. Jordan fans. You guys have an outstanding day, and I love you.
Thank you for the call, Butch, and very well said on James Earl Jones there. And yeah, to Josh's point as well, I think it's going to be a lot of week-to-week game planning, and it is also going to be to see how often defenses are zeroing in and the two high safety look. But we've got to take a break here, as we've got Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Bills practice starting here in just about a little over 5 minutes here, starting at noon. We'll get more of a look, too, at the rest of the week when Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaks at about 12:45 today. Taron Johnson already ruled out due to that forearm injury. Josh Allen, though, full participant in quote-unquote full participant in practice. It was a walkthrough yesterday, although there was some worries with that left hand injury. While the Dolphins, Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane out yesterday for practice, also a walkthrough. But on a short week, you can't really be a not practicing player and hope to play on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And that's two guys, two speedy guys, two guys that are massively important to their running game, and for a team to only put up 20 points, and as you know, we talked with Sal about it too. I mean, it took a bad fumble by Etienne, and then an 80-yard touchdown, and for them to kind of light it up on offense. But
like
they were
52-yard field goal.
They
or whatever.
Were dead in the water there for a little bit.
Speaking of Allen, real quick, he has a new Gatorade commercial out, and talking through his underdog story, and it is really good.
I'll have to check it out. It's really been good. A little bit since
kind of gives
heard
you
about
goosebumps.
The fireball
because you remember the
like
story,
that.
And it's like, oh wow, there
yeah,
it is.
That was big in the draft process in his rookie year. All right, it's going to do it for me and Josh today. We'll be back on the next 2 days for the Extra Point Show, Wednesday and Thursday for game day. But you're listening to WGR. Up next, Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.